In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. In the Nicene Creed, we confess a small but enormously triumphant and important reality. I believe in the resurrection of the dead, and this gets spelled out for us, maybe a little bit more, in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body, of the body. Now, I start off this way because the earliest Christians found themselves standing in a world where flesh was thought of as sort of only a temporary container. But it was not meant to last. It was not meant to endure. Because their understanding of things was that which was important was only the soul. Right? Like the spirit, the soul is the important thing. And the body was just a throwaway. You know, it was you could take it or leave it. Usually they would just rather leave it. And it was like, you know, you use it for a little bit of time. And then you just throw it, like Walmart furniture, you just throw it away after, you know, you don't need it anymore. What had happened by the time the first Christian stood upon the earth was that the pagan sons of Adam had been so immensely led astray that they had come to look at death as the final liberation of the spirit from the body. Right, this fleshly prison that we are just kind of contained and really imprisoned in. To them, the spirit was unpolluted, and the body was just sort of getting in the way. And so they viewed death as this sort of last hurdle to overcome and to get rid of and depart from the body, so you could finally attain to spiritual freedom. And because they believed that the body was merely a container, right, the prison house of the soul, Plato would say, they would do things to the body like expose it to be eaten by animals after death. They would burn it on a pyre and all sorts of other particularly pagan things because the pagans hate the body. Right? It was, if they really believed it was a prison house of the soul, it was not a good thing. Oddly enough, Christians now speak this way. Christians have strangely adopted the vocabulary of pagans and speak of the body as if it has no value or no worth to them or to God. And this, I imagine, probably has something to do with the modern notion of equating religion with spirituality, that which you know I hate. And I don't use the word hate lightly. But I hate it, because the spiritual but not religious folks, they tend to believe that the body is just merely mortal clothing that they can shed, that they can take off just as easily as I take my muddy boots off when I come in from the field. Christians, however, have a very, very fleshy perspective on things, right? Not fleshly, right? Not fleshly in the sense that, you know, of the way of the world sort of way, but fleshy in the sense of having a great honor and respect for the body. Right? The Christians always have. We always have. Because the chief reason for such a holy view of the body, because God has come to us and taken up a body. Taken up our body. Right? God did not spurn the virgin's womb to be fit with a body like ours. We confess and we worship the God who redeems us soul and body from sin and death and hell and everything that Satan would throw against us. And when he is put to death, Christ does not just cast off his body like a sheet, like a prison, like dirty laundry, and say, finally, I'm free. Christ does not do that. What does he do? He honors his body by resurrecting it, by glorifying it. And now, even right now, he wears that body forever. As flesh that the corruption of death can never ever touch. And then if that were not enough, he takes his body into heaven with him as the first fruits of those resurrected from the dead. Right? With that same exact flesh that was crucified and that he will feed us with very shortly in the supper. So if you think the body is just a shell or a prison, or if you've ever said anything dumb like me when I was young, like, hey, you know, when I die, just throw my body on the side of the road in a ditch, it doesn't matter. If you ever said that, just think of how Christ regards his own body. Today we commemorate those who have been joined to Jesus' death, to his resurrection, joined to his precious body by water and the word. Those who have passed through the gates of death, but who are yet still alive in, with, and through Jesus Christ, who is the God of the living, not of the dead. Right? All of the saints are alive with Christ. Not one is dead. And with them, we are all waiting for the resurrection of all flesh, not as some sort of vague, spiritual, ethereal existence, but the full promise of Jesus Christ, of a new flesh and a new blood, perfected in the Son of God, that we will wear for all eternity. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we pray for. Every time we pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Revelation, Christ gave to St. John a vision of the time after this promised resurrection. Right, that's what we're looking at in Revelation. Right? After the day of our Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection of all flesh. And I want you to notice something about what's going on here. Notice something about the dead who are here. Because they're never described as disembodied spirits. Right? They're not described as sort of like Tom after he dies, after trying to, you know, get Jerry. And he floats up as this ethereal ghost. They're not described that way. They're described as bodies. They are nations and tribes and peoples. They are speakers of language. They have tongues and they have lips with which to speak. They have vocal cords by which they can address the Lord. And they hold palm branches in their hands. They have bodies on which to wear white robes. They have faces, individual and different faces, on which they fall down upon and they cry out to the Lord loudly, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Now this in Revelation, it's not a metaphor, right? It's not. This is given to us as a picture of how it is and how it will be. And we do not believe in a resurrection. We believe in the resurrection of the body. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is the first fruits risen from the dead. And we also confess that our Lord in that exact same body will stand upon the earth, standing with his feet to give us full and total benefit of his work at Calvary. And he will stretch forth his hand upon the earth, and he will raise the dead, and he will call out to the sea and command the deep to release every single one of those who are there. And he will raise them to renewed and everlasting flesh. This is what I believe in the resurrection of the body means. Right? There are some people with the notion that we're just going to exist as sort of ghosts
for all it.
No. We are to be resurrected in the body, just like Christ was. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. What does that make us? The second fruit. We are to follow where the head goes. Follow where the head goes. And it's going to happen immediately. Right? The mortal will put on immortality. Sort of in contrast to the way that God has, in his mercy, decided to work on humanity through the slow passing of the ages, right? In order to give us humans time to repent and return to him, right? In contrast to that, when the time of the great and last day of our Lord comes, we are told that it will happen like a thief in the night, like a blinking of an eye. And God's saints will finally live lives without the sin and all of the pain that has caused us and continues to cause us and that has characterized this life for us and robbed us of so much joy. All Saints and All Souls Sunday is one of those days where we groan in anticipation, fierce anticipation of this victory, of this finally being applied to us. Because we lament the toll and the great price that sin has levied from us. We hurt and we lament and we mourn because death, it seems to have taken our loved ones from us. It seems to have taken our own people, Christ's own people. But nonetheless, we come here today, belonging to God, purchased by the blood of the Lamb, and claimed in the waters of holy baptism. And because we know who God is, we rightly refuse to settle for anything less than the full promise of Jesus Christ, both for ourselves and for our loved ones who've departed in the faith before us. We pant, we long for the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. Like St. John, who was given this vision in Revelation, in his Apocalypse. And we walk around in a world that we barely recognize anymore. Even from my youth, the world is so different. We were talking about this in Sunday school. We're hesitant even to turn on the evening news. Why? Because we're afraid of what we might see. We're afraid of the next horrible, horrible sin that we'll see. The next horrible atrocity. The next horrible thing that our culture will take up and call normal and good. We lament our society's absolute failure to love children enough not to kill them or to mutilate them. And then we worry if we're even safe. Because if we kill the most innocent among us, how can we ever rest in safety, truly rest in safety? We who have sinned so much when they haven't. We've shed too many tears of what is and what should never be, simply to make our peace with death and the culture of death. And we may not know what to do. I certainly don't about this world or about its future. And that's okay. It's okay because we have a Savior who has promised us an entirely new world that comes down as the New Jerusalem out of heaven. We have been promised an entirely remade body fit for eternity, made to last, made even better than in America. The scripture speaks to us today saying, rejoice. Rejoice and be glad. No matter what comes, rejoice and be glad. Sing a new song to the Lord. Even if through tear-stained eyes on this day, rejoice and be glad. He will raise you from this body of death, along with everyone who has departed this life in the faith. Because it's his intention to set you at a place of honor that he himself has prepared for you at the heavenly banquet of the marriage feast of the Lamb. On this day, we remember our own. We remember our dead. And they are our dead. Christ has given us to one another. They are our dead. And we lift our own voices before God. All of our loved ones for whom we still love and we still mourn and we still miss. In the great mystery of the union with Christ, we know that they're still with us. We know this because they're joined to Christ. And Christ is here. They are as surely with us as he is, unable to ever be separated from him or us. This is what the communion of saints is. And we do not mourn as people who have no hope. We mourn as brothers and sisters of the God who was raised from the dead. Who was raised from the dead in the glory of the Father, in the body. We are members of the same body whose head has gone before us, as in birth. And we know that where the head goes, what always follows? The body. This is what Jesus has promised us. This is what he will bring about on the great day of the Lord. And we will confess the saving faith of Christ's holy church. I believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Because this is what we are given to speak and to confess and to proclaim to a world that treats the body as if it were disposable and didn't matter at all. In the risen God, Jesus Christ, we have seen our future, and we know what it is because we have tasted it. And in our loss, and our losses have been great, this is our hope and our comfort. When we are weak, when we are beaten down by this world, this is the truth of the gospel that is our strength. And in death, the crucified and risen Lord, he alone is our hope. And praise be to God for it. Because he'll never fail us, ever. In the name of Jesus, amen.